You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. My name is Brian McDonald, and it is time for Skald's Hall. That means it's time for some spoken word entertainment. Tonight we have two new episodes of Things That Were Made Recently for audio drama distribution and for listening enjoyment. The first one is coming from the 19 Nocturne Boulevard series, and I've played a few of their episodes before. This one's called Duplicity. That will come up at the top of the hour. And to round out our show, we will go to the Campfire Radio Theater Company and their production of The Master's Hungry Children. So that's two new audio dramas for you tonight. They both tend to be on the scary side and the entertaining side. So sit back and relax and enjoy the programming that we have coming for you in just a moment here on CITR 101.9 FM.
This September 17 to 20th, Rifflandia Festival will transform Victoria, BC, featuring a diverse lineup of artists across numerous stages and pop-up venues, all within walking distance in the city's beautiful and historic downtown core.
Dancing naked around a fire, leaving trouble behind, swimming in the water.
This year's acts include Chromeo, Julian Casablancas plus The Voids, Chiesa, Arkellis, and more. Visit Rifflandia.com for full details.
Sometimes you get tied down.
Did you know that the UBC Bookstore collects food for the AMS Food Bank? If you would like to contribute, please bring your non-perishable food items to the bookstore and drop them off in the box near the front cash area. For more information, check out ams.ubc.ca under services.
Nocturne Boulevard? Not far. When you hit Howard, hang a right. Howard meets Philip at a weird kind of angle. Then you cross James and Paul. You can't miss Nocturne. It's just past the Automat.
19 Nocturne Boulevard. Your address for suspenseful stories of the speculative, strange, and supernatural.
Tonight's episode is Duplicity, inspired by a story by O. Henry.
Yes? This is 19 Nocturne Boulevard. Won't you step inside?
Did you have any trouble finding it? What do you mean, what kind of a place is it? Why, it's a quaint old boarding hotel on a teensy out-of-the-way unfashionable space platform of the classic sci-fi type. Can't you tell?
Anthony, so pleased to see you. Come right in.
Thank you so much for having me, sir.
Have a seat. Gamamoo? Gamamoo? Where is that robot?
Oh, Father, I'm so sorry. I forgot to tell you. Gamamoo is in the shop.
That's preposterous. Back in my day, they built robots to last.
Gamamoo is getting on in years, just as you are, Father. It should be back in working order in a couple of days. I think I smell something burning.
If you will excuse me, Anthony, I shall have to go and fetch the drinks tray myself.
Oh, please don't bother yourself, Governor. I'm happy to do that.
You are a guest in my house, young man.
And I'm quite used to having to look after myself. Besides, I'm sure Lydia has everything ready. It won't take any effort at all on my part.
She's a good girl. Too bad she never married.
Yes. Lydia?
Oh.
What's wrong?
Oh, Mr. Hargraves. What makes you think something's wrong?
Lydia, if there's one thing any actor worth his salt learns before anything else, it's how to tell when someone is lying.
It's not your problem.
Will you let me help? Is it something about Gamamoo? I mean, I know you've had that robot for years.
I pawned it!
What?
It's not broken. And it's not coming back. We needed the money.
But your father's estates.
Venus is in a recession, and the incomes simply can't keep up with the cost of living. Space station habitats are so expensive.
You could go back to a surface home.
Huh. No place will have father even now. We're just lucky that here, in a place so mercenary, no one cares about what he did anymore. If they ever did.
He was never prosecuted.
He didn't do anything worse than any other territorial governor. He was made an example of. And being father, he refused to unbend and let some PR firm mend his reputation. He truly believes he was, and always has been, in the right.
The Venusians see it differently.
Yes. Take their side.
I'm not. I just... Once you've played both the good and the bad enough times, you start to see things from everyone's side. You simply can't help yourself.
Here. Father will be wondering where you got to.
Lydia.
Mr. Hargraves.
How much?
What?
How much did you get for Gamma Mu?
Turns out the old Mu line are classics. Collectible. They gave me 200 credits. Would have been more, but I refused to sell it outright. Yet.
You have hope of getting some money before the time is up.
Hope is what we live on. And memories.
Right.
Lydia?
She, wanted to freshen up.
Oh, put herself back together, as she says. As often as she needs to do that, you'd think the girl was as badly in need of replacement parts as our poor servo robot. More likely, she just wants to leave you on your own to put up with my storytelling.
Sir, I...
No. Until we made your acquaintance, young man, there was no one to tell my stories to but my poor dear Lydia. And saint that she is... She put up with it.
Sir!
That girl should have married and left the nest 20 years ago. But after all that happened...
Why don't you make us your famous Venusian aperitif, sir?
Huh? Yes. I was about to do that, wasn't I?
No one makes them like you do, sir.
Of course not. I invented the drink. Everyone nowadays makes these with an extract of Venusian basil, or, God forbid, synthetic. But I must have the real thing or nothing. Lydia somehow always manages to have a pinch or two ready for me, no matter what.
She is very concerned about your comfort. Shows a great deal of character.
What is it you actors say, as if on cue? My dear, will you join us?
I already have a drink of my own. But I might stay and keep you gentlemen company for a little while.
Certainly.
Capital. I shall make us just the two, then.
As many times as you've treated me to these, I should definitely reciprocate.
Nonsense.
Or at least bring you some of the basil?
No. Hospitality is what you give freely, with no thought of reciprocation. Otherwise, it becomes merely commerce.
I see.
You said you had a new show going up soon, Anthony.
Oh, yes.
And what are you playing this week?
Guess. But I warn you, it has more than four limbs.
You and your alien roles. Is it just the one extra, like the Venusians, or the full complement of a Martian?
Actually, this time I'm from Pluto.
Plutonians? But they never come this close to the sun.
Artistic license. The story is a murder mystery set at a diplomatic event near the asteroid belt.
What will they come up with next?
I can understand why you have to double for a Plutonian, but... Why not get real Martians to play Martians and real Venusians to play Venusians?
Martians don't like being too close to humans. They say we smell unpleasant. For moving pictures, you can still shoot scenes in pieces and clip them together. But in stage work, it doesn't go at all.
And all the extra body mass?
Elementary rotoscoping replacement on film. Padding an exoskeleton on stage. Simple servo-mechanical movements. And, of course, the voice changer.
Wonder of wonders.
And most people have only seen them, either Venusian or Martians, on screen.
But isn't that expensive?
Well, if all else fails, if there's just the one extra arm, you stick it in a sling and pretend it's broken.
That's just what I like to hear, my dear.
The problem with using real Venusians in any kind of show? Well, their artistic culture is one of unfettered improvisation and sudden impulse. They don't really adjust to the concept of scripted material. They've only dealt with a written language for a very short time.
That was one of the reasons for such a debate about accepting them as a truly sentient and evolved species.
Yes?
Having some form of recordation of history and science, we don't include fiction as being necessary for sentience, you understand?
A lot of people don't.
Well, you see, as they had no recording system that we could fathom, it was hard to be entirely certain they weren't simply bright, imitative animals.
Which was why you were put in charge of the planet.
I ran a tight ship and made that planet one of the most profitable in the entire solar system. Where's young Anthony got to? I haven't seen him in weeks.
He's been filming again, Papa. And he's not precisely young. He's my age.
Yes, I have been meaning to talk to you about that. You could do worse than that young fellow.
Papa!
Actor or not, he's a fine young man. Knows how to treat his elders properly. Shows respect. Like him.
Father, I am hardly young either.
Precisely. Should have married and left the nest a donkey's years back.
I can't leave you alone, Papa. At least not until they fix the robot.
You mean at least not until I have gone on to a better place, don't you?
Papa!
I am old, my child, and I realize that there will come an end. Not today or tomorrow, but I don't want to see you spending your time in regrets because you clung to this sinking spar when you could have taken off in a lifeboat.
I'm sure Anthony will come back and visit again soon.
What was it you said he was doing?
Filming, Papa. He said he'd be gone for a month while they made a movie.
Will we be able to see it?
If it broadcasts on one of the stations we can receive.
Used to be more channels. I swear, I recall that...
Yes, Papa. There were, but most of them have become so violent and unpleasant. I cancelled them.
Oh, you are such a sensitive young lady.
Yes. Huh? Who is it?
Me. I mean, Mr. Hargraves. I just got back and I have a copy of my new film. I thought I might bring it over and show it to you. To the both of you.
You can't come in now. Neither of us is prepared to see company. You know how Papa insists on being in full Governor regalia to entertain?
Gosh, I'm sorry. I only wanted to surprise you.
Surprise us again in an hour, if you please.
Anything to oblige a lady.
Oh, goodness. How will I ever get the cleaning finished? Papa, you might wish to prepare yourself for company.
What was this movie about?
You'll just have to see. I think you'll like it.
Oh, my, the old place.
They found some cracking stock footage.
Can you make it a bit bigger? My eyes aren't what they once were.
Absolutely, sir. I want you to be able to see this.
Many people think they know about the early days of the Venus colony, but all they really know is the rumors.
What?
Oh, no!
Shh! This is the good part.
Hospitality is what you give freely, with no thought of reciprocation. Otherwise, it becomes merely... commerce.
What have you done?
Sir?
I invented this drink, you know.
Get out. You don't understand. All I wanted to do was show the reality under all the terrible stories that people have bandied about. Show the humanity.
Get out!
You had better go.
At least let me reward you for the help you gave me, even though you didn't know you were doing it.
Are you insinuating you will pay me for this impersonation? For stealing my entire...
Shh! Father! Mr. Hargraves, you are no longer welcome in this house. Leave.
This lampoon?
Lydia?
Don't.
I thought this would be a way to help you. Both of you.
Help? By driving Papa into a veritable fit? Go.
Lydia?
Yes, Papa?
Lydia, hasn't young Anthony visited?
No, Papa. He's been away for the last week, filming.
Again? Did we see his last film?
Yes, Papa. It was very nice.
Good, good. He's a nice young man. You could do worse.
I know, Papa.
Who's there?
I'll go and see.
Are we expecting someone? Is that why I'm in my uniform?
I just thought it might make you feel better. Hello?
Greetings. Is this the living place of previous Governor Pendleton?
Oh, what now? Yes, this is the place you are looking for.
Is the previous governor available? This one would like to speak with him.
He's not feeling well today.
Lydia, is that a Venusian voice? How interesting. Let's see what the green fellow has to say for himself, eh?
Yes, Papa. Please come in. Papa, you don't have to.
Nonsense. It's only a common courtesy to meet a guest on your feet. Greetings. May I say what occasions this visit? You are very far from your home world.
Many years have passed, previous governor, and yet you have not changed so much. Do you not recall Mac Back? This one was an aide in the mansion.
Oh.
Oh, my stars, yes, oh, Mac Back. I never thought to see anyone from those days again. Why don't you...
Would you like a bench to accommodate your form?
This one would be most grateful.
Would you be a dear and bring us some refreshment, Lydia?
Certainly.
Now that we're alone, what is it that brought you here?
This one has come to repay a debt, previous governor.
A debt? I cannot think of anything.
When your office made your departure, you gifted Mac Back with a number of items.
Oh, yes, I seem to remember.
Among those was a vehicle, given as you could not transport it off-planet.
Yes, now I recall. I apologize for my forgetfulness, but it has been a very long time.
This visit is to repay that gift.
Repay?
The previous governor said at the time that if a gift was unacceptable, the vehicle could be considered a loan to be repaid at a later date. Many years have passed, for the previous governor's location is not easily uncovered.
And you came all this way to pay me for my old Habakkuk?
The vehicle became the center of a profitable business, transporting visiting dignitaries. After some years, more vehicles, more transportation. Mac Back has become very comfortable, as you say, and it came upon this one a desire to travel. Travel without purpose is enjoyable, but achieving a goal is more so.
Well, you have come a long way to pay back such a slight debt. The car couldn't have been worth more than 100 credits.
Considered as a loan or even an investment in the business of Mac Back, this 100 credits has grown like a precocious fern monkey over the past many years.
How much?
Do not be crude, dear. Never mind the amount. It's the thought that is important. Whatever you feel is necessary to pay Mac Back will be more than enough.
This one has had the tabulations done, and this is the amount which is correct.
Oh!
But Mac Back...
1,000 credits.
But surely you...
Mac Back does not take charity. This one must even all debts before end of life comes, or debts will follow to the next world.
Oh, yes. We are all getting a bit old, are we not?
Father!
Indeed. Old times become very close when one approaches the fading of the light.
Lydia, why don't you go and do something for yourself and leave us old fellows to talk? I'm quite certain that we shall bore you to tears with our stuffy old stories. Hey, Mac Mac.
Lydia, I'm so sorry I'm late. I didn't get here until Wednesday, and I couldn't get any transport.
You're here? Even after Father drove you out?
I can't begrudge him his pride. I just hope that he might have forgiven me there at the end.
I think... I'm sure he forgot the entire incident.
Forgot, yes.
He would have forgiven you, though. Father was never a vindictive man.
You, at least, know I never meant the play as any kind of insult.
I guess. I never got to see more than that opening. He was so furious.
But you will forgive me, won't you? I would be mortified if we couldn't get past this.
I can't stay mad at you. And I certainly don't have so many friends that I can throw one away over such a trifle.
Good.
And from the little I did see...
Yes?
Oh, just that you did a very good... You did the acting very well.
I'm glad you didn't hate it.
Of course I didn't. Don't tease so.
I promise. Well, at least he had some good days there at the end. And you look like things are going a little better. Was that Gamma Mu I saw standing by the casket?
Yes. We were very lucky. Father came into some unexpected money.
I know.
What? How did you hear?
You really didn't know?
You? You paid that Venusian.
Oh, you really underestimate me, Lydia. Didn't you believe me when I said I do very well in alien roles?
Now that you know how to find us, don't be a stranger. We've got enough of those already. Tonight's episode, Duplicity, was adapted loosely by Julie Hoverson from the story The Duplicity of Hargraves by O. Henry. In tonight's episode, Governor Pendleton was Dave Marshall, Lydia was Don Harvey, and Anthony was Charles Austin Miller. Cover art was also by Charles Austin Miller. Music for this episode was by Enox and is used under a Creative Commons license. Sound and mastering was done by Julie Hoverson. Opening theme was by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. The opening credits featured Cole Hornaday, Renaud LaBeouf, and Julie Hoverson. Sound effects may have come from Soundsnap.com, Sonomic.com, StockMusic.com, OneSoundFX.com, SoundEffectsForFree.com, and through the Footage Firm and Blastwave FX. Any other effects are used under a royalty-free license. All persons, places, and events in this story were fictitious or used in a fictitious manner and are not meant to reflect any persons, places, or things, living, dead, or undead. Questions? Comments? We would love to hear from you. Contact us at 19nocturne@live.com. Check out our website at www.19nocturneboulevard.com and like us on Facebook. We actually reply. This presentation, as well as the scripts and characters therein, is copyright 2013 to Julie Hoverson and Reality Productions and is released under a Creative Commons 3.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Spread the show around, but don't try to make money off it.
This 100 credits has grown like a precocious fern monkey. A precocious fern monkey.
September 13th, Shinerama UBC will be hosting the annual Shine Day. Join the students of UBC throughout the city of Vancouver in order to fight cystic fibrosis. Sunday, September 13th, 9 a.m. at the Nest UBC. Find us on Facebook or at www.shinerama.ca for more details. Brought to you by 200 BPM, Gold's Gym, and Sigma Chi UBC.
Welcome, friend. Have a seat by the fire. Make yourself comfortable. The children slumbered as dawn crept over a frozen plain. Their kind fast asleep, adrift in a shadowland of dreams. Monstrous dreams. You're listening to Campfire Radio Theater. Tonight's tale, written by John Ballantyne, takes us to a remote Romanian village toward the end of World War II. A place where townsfolk speak in hushed whispers even now in regard to the master's hungry children.
We've scouted the village, Colonel. The area is secure. We'll have no problems with Russian snipers here.
What about the rock church there? Off in the meadow.
It's a poor line of sight. My men assure me it's abandoned, though.
I doubt there's a structure here tall enough to make an effective sniper's nest. Good work, Lieutenant Eichel. No one here to hold a rifle unless these livestock have evolved the dexterity. Not a living soul in the street. Nothing but animals. I suppose they cower in their homes, sad little peasants. Attention, citizens of whatever you call this dirt clod of a town. I am Colonel Victor Kruger of the German army. We are in need of supplies and shelter.
Maybe no one is here, Colonel.
Oh, they're here. Hiding behind closed doors and cellars. They want us to leave, Lieutenant, but that's simply not going to happen. Such a shame to spend the long winter without a calf or sow to butcher. I give you a count to five to step out and show yourself before I begin slaughtering your food supply in the street. One, two, three, four.
Don't shoot, I beg of you, to spare our animals, please, I beg you, sirs.
Hold your fire!
Please, don't shoot.
Calm down, you needn't be alarmed.
I beg you, sirs, you mustn't kill the animals, for our sake, for all our sakes.
Catch your breath there and tell me your name.
My name, it's Abramovitz.
So, it is but you left, and the women and children, is that the case?
By and large. With the exception of the older men and the crippled.
Ah, I see. You are of Jewish descent.
Yes.
What the devil are you doing here? There are places for your kind.
They saw fit to leave me here, with all the able-bodied men off at war. You see, I am caretaker of this village.
As a caretaker?
I tend the livestock, just as I've done since boyhood. I tend them for the master.
Your master? I thought there were none left here but old men and women.
The master is old. Quite old. You don't know of him?
Our master resides in Berlin, and he is most demanding. Eichel, tell the men to stand down. We're in no danger here.
Yes, sir.
Have them stow their gear. We'll be staying here for the evening.
All right, put away your equipment.
Now, let's see.
Prepare to force
watch. We've been traveling for days through this wretched countryside. These men are tired and in dire need of rest. I need you to make accommodations for them, as that means comfortable beds. I don't care who must give up theirs. Is that understood?
I will do my best to see to that.
And perhaps you should honor us with a dinner tonight.
A dinner? Of course! Yes, we have grain and corn and potatoes and turnips stored for the winter, all back in the granaries.
Oh, you're joking. We're a traveling army, dear man. We need meat, fresh meat. That pig will do nicely, and I'd prefer a rack of lamb as well. Why, yes, there's plenty here for all. Eichel.
Eichel!
Yes, sir?
See to it those two animals are butchered properly.
Butcher them? No, no, that's not wise. That's not wise at all.
We'll roast that pig on a spit over there. Collect some wood for a fire.
This is a serious matter if you wish to take livestock from the herd.
I'd like to be sitting at a table before the bitter night falls on this place. Perhaps if you're well behaved, I'll allow you to dine with us.
Your food, sir?
Take your seat there, Eichel. What kept you?
I was trying to ring up our forces near Nussdorf, but haven't been able to establish contact.
Your food, sir?
Communication lines will be spotty in these hills.
Your food, sir?
Yes, thank you.
Very nice, my little plum. Now off with you. Oh, these peasants have their appeal, eh, Eichel? Reminds me of that village near the border, you recall? A man must take pleasures where he must in this war.
I suppose so, sir.
So, what's bothering you, Eichel?
Colonel, this place is not on any of our maps.
We've gone through uncharted towns before?
True, sir. I guess the talk among the men has me on edge.
The talk among the men?
They claim to hear whispers on the night wind.
And you're certain this area is secure from enemy troop movements?
As certain as I can be, sir. The Russian infantry are a good 3 or 4 days behind us.
It's likely nothing more than tricks of the wind, whistling over an open countryside.
I must agree. But they also speak of shadows that move, that appear to lurk in the darkness just out of reach. Some say they feel eyes upon them.
So talk has turned to witches and goblins.
Do you think, sir? Sometimes I wonder. Do you think, sir, that we will have to pay for the things that we've done in this war?
Pay? To whom?
Some higher power? God, perhaps?
Dear Eichel. Oh, there's no God.
Some commotion outside, sir.
All right, move aside. Step aside.
Clear the air for the colonel.
Abramowitz. Abramowitz, what's the meaning of this?
It is two of your men, Colonel.
Yes. What of them?
Something terrible has happened.
Well, spit it out.
They're over there in the alleyway.
Oh, for Christ's sakes, go check on them, Eichel.
Yes, sir.
If there's been some mischief on their part, well, these men have not seen the fairer sex in some time, and their natural urges to contend...
Kruger!
Yes?
Come, sir, come quickly!
Oh, this better be worth my dinner turning cold. Come along, Abramowitz, and see what perversions have been wrought. Oh, these men can be incorrigible, given a taste of freedom. Such time spent on the front, their minds filled with... Is that blood? In the snow there?
Sir, it's Brosau and Hefner.
Is someone injured? There's a great deal of blood for. Oh.
They were found here. Like this.
This is fresh. Their throats snarled wide open. There's gore spread everywhere.
Look at Brosau. It's as if something reached down in his throat and tore out his beating heart. Took a bite of it like a ripe red apple.
There is a vicious nature to this. Abramowitz!
Sir, this seems more of an animal attack of some sort.
I suppose one of the goats did this. Don't be ridiculous. There is no evidence of struggle. Their guns weren't even discharged. I suspect one of these homely harlots distracted the men while another slipped behind them and slit their throats.
But there are bite marks about their necks.
Colonel, please. I plead of you, for your own safety and that of your men, please leave this place. Leave and never
ever return.
Is that some thinly veiled threat? I could level this village, burn it to the ground. Don't think for a moment I've not done worse.
No, no, please. I intend neither to threaten nor insult you, Colonel.
Very well. So who shall I begin with, hmm? Perhaps the old woman, hunched over near that well? Or the young girl clinging to her mother's apron there, in the crowd? She can be no more than 5, wouldn't you say? Well, who?
God in heaven, what do you mean, Colonel?
Before the murderer among you steps forward, how many of you must I kill? How many?
There is no one here capable of such.
Then why the hell are 2 of my men dead? Perhaps I should just shoot you. That may cut to the meat of this matter.
Colonel, look!
What is it, Eichel?
To that rock church in the distance. Look to the graveyard. A dark figure moves among the headstones.
Yes, I see it. And it walks upright. Not likely any beast other than the one known as man.
It disappeared into the church.
There's candlelight glowing within. I thought this rock church was abandoned.
It was, sir.
Lieutenant, put together a well-armed party and send them out to the church.
No, that is the master's house. You must not intrude on him.
Move aside.
No, you don't understand. The master is not to be disturbed.
Achtung!
There is a covenant.
Out of my way. Stupid peasant! Well, Eichel?
The church is empty except for one man seated at a long table.
And what does he have to say for himself?
Not much. He wishes to speak with you.
No use to keep him waiting, then.
Sir, I have our best men posted in the sanctuary. They are well armed, and you should be safe, but...
But?
I wouldn't get too close to him. There's something sinister to him. In his eyes, in his bearing. He doesn't seem the least bit concerned that we're here.
He may change his attitude after our talk.
Colonel, I see what the men were speaking of now. I could swear I saw them too.
So what, Eichel?
The shadows in the sanctuary. They seem to move. Look around you with conscious thought. With a mind of their own.
Tricks of the candlelight. You're spooking yourself.
Of course. You're right, sir.
Colonel.
At ease, Corporal.
He awaits you just ahead in the next chamber, sir.
You must be Colonel Kruger.
And you?
Vindral is my name. Have a seat at my table.
I think not.
As you wish. What brings you into this chilled night, Colonel?
You know damn well. 2 of my soldiers lay dead back there in that village.
That is regrettable.
Regrettable? Is that all you have to say?
What more need be said over the dead?
Explain to me how I'm supposed to bury the bodies into this godless ground, or how they ended up in this state in the first place, their heads nearly severed from their torsos. Might you be acquainted with the responsible party?
You think that I killed your men?
Despite your clever disguise as a man of the cloth, yes, I do suspect it was you.
I fear you presume incorrectly. These robes are not those of a priest nor holy man. And I am no man of God.
So, you live here, in this old church. Is that so?
It is my home.
There was a thorough inspection of this medieval structure earlier today when we arrived. There was not a soul here.
During the daylight, I am at rest.
Curious hours.
Not for one such as myself, Colonel. Is your interrogation at an end?
You try my patience, Vendrell. Tell me what you know.
You and I are alike in many respects, Colonel. We both have witnessed horrors unspeakable, committed sins unforgivable, yet you have your men, your children to look after as I do mine. They can be unruly, not always willing to do your bidding.
You're trying to say the villagers did this?
No, they are not my children. You see, Colonel, I suffer from a disease which is rare, has no cure. It is spread by blood. I was quarantined here many moons ago. I have over time spread it to others, mostly townspeople from the community below. Those that have been infected are the ones I refer to as my children. The villagers merely serve a purpose.
And what purpose might that be?
Food. They are cattle, bred for our consumption.
What kind of madness is this? I will not be a gullible participant in your local folklore. If one of your children is responsible for this bloody crime, then hand him over.
That would not be wise.
And why not?
Because I'm the only thing keeping you safe from them now, Colonel. Those infected with this disorder take on abilities which are abnormal. The life's blood flowing through you, such a sweet elixir. We crave it incessantly. Besides, it was you and your men that came here and broke our covenant with the village below.
Covenant? You speak in riddles.
There is a contract that has stood many years, broken this very night. Yes, Athalus, I will show him now. It is written here. Right here.
Who are you speaking to, you doddering fool?
Althalus, the eldest of the children.
I see no one.
They dance among the shadows most evenings, rarely assuming corporeal form. Ah, yes. Here we are. When you slaughtered livestock this eve for your feast, you in effect forfeited the lives of your two men.
What are you talking about?
There must be equal compensation for the butchering of livestock. You killed a fatted sow and a lamb for your meal, did you not?
What of it?
Althalus took the lives of your two soldiers for his meal, an equal compensation.
Don't come any closer.
Our covenant with the villagers provides for their safety from our bloodlust as long as there's a herd to feed from. My servant Abramowitz tends that herd, so that his people might not again become our prey. Granted, goat's blood is not as pleasurable to feed upon as that of mortal men, but we have adapted. Perhaps you will adapt as well.
Adapt from what? I don't pretend to be any blood-sucking ghoul as you do.
Adapt from your own manner of bloodlust. If you are to live in this world, Colonel...
You presume to lecture me, you insolent fool? What would stop me from leveling this church to its foundation?
Colonel, I could smite you where you stand before you draw another breath or clear that gun from your holster.
You're surrounded, Vendrell.
I offer you a hospitality. We kill for sustenance, not sport. Be on your way. And I spare you and your men.
You think I want to return? With more men? More guns?
I've seen many wars, Colonel. Enough to know this war is over for you and your countrymen. The Germans are far too occupied in retreat from the Russians to be bothered with such a trifle, a speck of a village on the outskirts of nowhere. In a few months' time, you'll all be either prisoners of war or rotting away in some... shallow grave. No, a clever bluff. But let's not deceive ourselves. There will be no reinforcements.
You see,
spoke with him?
Never mind that. Informs the men to have their equipment packed immediately. We will be departing as soon as possible.
Before daylight, sir?
That is my order, Lieutenant. See to it that it is carried out.
Yes, sir. Will we be following the standard practice before we leave, sir?
Standard practice? Yes, we will, Eichel. Yes, we will.
Colonel, you and your lieutenant have returned. What of the covenant? Did the master speak of it? Is it still in effect?
All is well with your covenant, dear fellow, but there will soon be much more pressing problems. Eichel!
Yes, Colonel.
Take care of the matter we discussed.
Yes, sir.
Abramowitz, things are about to change for you and your people.
I don't understand, Colonel. I thought all was well with the master.
Forget this Vendril that lives in your rock church. He's quite the delusional lunatic, but perfectly harmless.
He is far from harmless, I assure you, Colonel.
It's going to be a very trying winter for you and your fellow villagers. We will leave enough food stores for you to sustain yourself for a short period.
What in heaven's name do you mean, Colonel?
There is a massive Russian Red Army mere days behind us. We can leave nothing that they might find useful here. Your livestock, your food reserves, they must be destroyed. This is what we do. It is our orders to burn and pillage. Leave nothing behind for an enemy to make use of.
My herds, my animals, you must stop them. No, you don't understand. Our lives depend on them.
Of course, you should abandon the weak, the sick immediately. They will not live out the harsh winter. Only the very strong will
survive. You sentence us all to death.
Consider yourself fortunate, Abramowitz.
I thought there could be no darker mountain than the master. But you, Colonel, you are inhuman. Devious.
Watch yourself, Abramowitz. I could just as easily end it here for you now.
But what of yourself, Colonel? You think the master will allow you to leave this place after what you've done here?
You are all deranged. He has no power over you. Oh, I told them not to waste bullets on the townsfolk.
There is no food now for any of us. No food for the master and his children either. Except us and you, Colonel. You and your men.
What is going on up there?
Sir, we are under attack.
Under attack by what?
It's the shadows, sir. They spring from the darkness like birds of prey.
Creature hovering over that soldier, pale and withered like some. For God's sake, shoot it before it rips out his jugular.
It's gone, disappeared into the shadows.
Good God, the blood.
More of them, we're surrounded.
Oh, what is that?
The voices aren't the wind, Colonel. Oh, what have we done? What have we done?
Mark! Mark! Somebody's shooting at me! Help me!
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Shoot it!
What in all that's holy?
Shoot it!
Oh! 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 Thank God. Bless you, Abramowitz. Those creatures out there, unholy abominations, all my men are dead.
You brought this upon us, Colonel.
We must survive until daylight. I can walk to the next town. Seek us help.
The air is frozen even in the middle of the day. The nearest village is too far, and they will not come to this place. They know of the things that dwell here.
Abramowitz, I would have a word with you.
Dear God, is there some place I might hide?
Under the floor. There's a loose plank. It'll be a tight fit, but others have hid here.
Abramowitz, I am forever in your debt.
Abramowitz, where are your manners?
I am coming, master.
Well, aren't you going to invite me in?
Listen to my
home. Have you any food?
Oh. God in heaven, it's you. The peasant girl. The one who served us.
I'm hungry. So hungry.
Quiet.
Trouble our that seeks. You have heard has been decimated.
Yes, I know.
But what are you doing? My plum, you're too close.
So hungry. So thirsty.
I will my children pigs and goats. They have quenched their thirst in Nazi blood this night, but it will not last. Soon they must feed again. And their appetite is voracious. They are feral.
No, stay away, girl.
In nature, when the bloodlust takes hold.
Why not go into the countryside?
You're too close.
There are other villages, other farms, whole armies marching across this land. Why must we? Because...
You know, we cannot venture far. We dare not enter into daylight. This is our home as it is yours. So which of your people shall be my first meal? That is, if you have no wish to turn the good Colonel Kruger over to me.
Dear,
Colonel Kruger?
Release me. Let go of my arm.
I must drink. So thirsty.
Is he with the lives of your people? I smell him here. The mortal blood flowing.
What are you doing? No, that head. Stop. You're biting into my arm. Let go, you stupid slut.
What have we here? Look what I've discovered under your floorboard, a Nazi rat. And look at your arm, Colonel. You've been infected by this girl.
She's not like you. She's but a simple peasant.
The affliction hasn't taken hold yet, but I assure you, she is one of us. Much as you are now, Colonel.
What? Unhand me. Unhand me, you demon!
As you wish.
She barely broke the skin. I'll be all right.
Blood flows down your arm, Colonel. You are infected. Shall I finish you?
What?
Remove the life's blood from your body. That way you needn't fear becoming one of us. Or perhaps we needn't fear the same.
No, stay away from me. Stay away! You monsters! All of you! All of you! Blood-sucking monsters!
Such an amusingly ironic man.
Monsters!
Her name was Dasana. She was my niece.
I will finish what was started before the infection transforms her. Rest assured, I need no more of these unruly children to keep fed. And I know you wish her not to become a member of our brood. Death is mercy.
Thank you. Master. But what of the Colonel?
Oh, Colonel Kruger will not make it far. Look to the horizon, my old friend. It glows. Daybreak is but a strike of the clock away. There in the open field he will have no protection, no cover. Soon he will find the sunlight his enemy. I suspect by noon you will locate the Colonel's bleached bones smoldering in the snow.
I suppose I will bury him when the ground thaws, if I survive this winter.
There will be unwary souls through here in the coming months, Russians from the east, refugees from the south. There may be ripe pickings for my kind yet. Perhaps we needn't feed on your people so heavily as I feared. But by all means bury the good colonel, and as a warning to any who might tread his twisted path, carve into his epitaph, "Here lies but a paler shade of sinister." You've been listening to Campfire Radio Theater. Tonight's tale, The Master's Hungry Children, was written, directed, and produced by John Ballantyne. Featured in the cast were John Ballantyne as Colonel Kruger and Fendrel, Blaine Hicklin as Abramowitz, Dennis Kasher as Lieutenant Eichel, Tanya Milojevic as Dasiana. Also featured were Glenn Haskell and Alex Pinnick. Music by Kevin MacLeod. The piece Mournful Strings by Hammer Clavier. Sound design by Tim Holding and John Ballantyne. Additional sound provided by Free Sound Project. Mixing and post-production by John Ballantyne. Visit us at campfireradiotheater.podbean.com and on Facebook at Campfire Radio Theater.
Organized crime has muscled its way into the world of audio drama. Decorated Air Theater presents This Thing of Ours, a story of life in the Mafia. Follow Carmine Santarelli.
The only reason you're still standing here and not face down in a pool of your own blood is that you're connected to Frank.
As he navigates the treacherous New York City underworld, join the family at DecoratedAir.com.
With the vast amount of changes happening in the world, it's almost impossible to get a clear picture of what's really going on.
We are trapped within the logic of capitalism, leaving us unable to imagine what comes next.
The Extra Environmentalist brings the perspectives of people who can see the whole picture and are ready for whatever comes our way.
Tune in to The Extra Environmentalist every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
This is the viewpoint that makes all places the same to you.
And you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Brian McDonald, and that's just about all the time that we have for radio drama adventures here on Scald's Hall. And coming up in a few moments, we're going to be having Canada Post Rock with John. And I suppose I should just take a moment to welcome any and every UBC student back to school. Welcome back. And you may notice that we have our radio station in a place where you can see it and in a place where you can hear it if you go to the new Student Union building. And you can find it because it is surrounded on about 8 different directions and several different planes of reality by construction. Sometimes when I come into the Student Union building, I'm wondering if it's kind of like they're designing video games where, you know, they're trying to like develop a stage where it's really, really hard to get through, kind of like 1980s platformers. And they're just trying to top themselves rather than actually build anything useful. But every time I think that, I think, well, that's not fair. You can't say that about people. But I just did. Haha. So coming up in a few moments, we're going to have Canada Post Rock with John. And from all of us here at CITRs, for seriously, enjoy your weekend.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be